These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
On that before, and he was like, no, and I never even thought I ever would.
Those vipers.
It's crazy.
They ate him up. They chewed him up and spit him out.
Well, I did go on his Reddit the other day because my phone died and I just wanted to like be on a phone. I don't know why I wasn't just on plugging my phone in. Anyway, when I got on his Reddit, I just blocked all of the different porn accounts he was looking at on Reddit. And
oh my gosh, I forget there's even porn there.
I know, I was reporting them too.
Anything weird? Actually, tell me later because he's listening to this.
Oh, well, it was nothing like weird. I was just like, block, report. Block.
Pranked.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle Davis Baber.
Michelle Davis Ben-Simone Bronfman. Benson Baber.
Dorfman. Stephen Dorfman.
It's your full socialite name. And we are going to be recapping season 19, episode 8 of Real Housewives of Orange County. And oh my God, this episode, it was accurately described in one review as one of the trashiest episodes of television in the past 5 years. I loved it.
It was the full rasher of an Asian woman.
A rasher, indeed. And it just, so our complaints with this season is it's felt very like Mad Libs of like different OCCs, like, you know, just putting two things together. Like, okay, yeah, let's do an aerial yoga scene and Gretchen is complaining about Tamara. Or, oh yeah, let's do dinner in New Orleans and someone storms out and leaves like Denise Richards. It just feels so like random.
It's like a Mad Max.
It's like a Mad Max Mad Lib.
Mad TV. It's the British mad. Word mad.
But like not even mad and like it's lazy mad. You know, it's like, okay, this and this, you know, these things work. But
it's
tonight
fucking crazy.
Tonight they really found the sweet spot when they were like, okay, let's bring out the old classic of a lie detector test. And then another classic of a Persian New Year party.
Yeah.
You know, an ethnic holiday party. And those two together, well, let's just say A plus.
They tried doing like the SLC, the Salt Lake City type of like
Greek Easter.
These are crazy events. You know, I applaud them for not doing a fucking 1920s flapper party.
Because we were starting to get it there in terms of the well of ideas, but we really, this combo was like chocolate and peanut butter.
But I don't know. If this was the greatest representation of the Persian New Year, especially because Emily, who was hosting it, didn't know what year it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she had enough of it.
She tried Googling it. She said she tried to Googling.
My mother-in-law's Persian.
Kayan's kind of Persian. Anyway, my dad's autistic.
Yeah. You know, she gave us a place setting, and that's really all she's giving this season. Okay. But I can't ding her too much because this was so crazy. All right. This is going to be a longer one. We really have to cover every perfect morsel. Okay, so first we have Shannon's dad, Gene the Machine. He's celebrating his 96th birthday. Michelle, I got to say, does he not look incredible?
Okay, I was texting you.
Wait, okay, let me
I texted you when I started watching. Yeah, go to the tape. Go to the green text. Lauren won't get an iPhone again, and it's destroying our friendship. Actually, I think our friendship started when you got green text.
Oh, you said it's the ghost of father past. I think he looks good. I think it looks better than Ken Todd.
Okay, number one. Just that whole scene was crazy to me. Okay, so she invites her dad to an 11 a.m. lunch, which is fine.
Yeah, that's when.
But it's then we find out it's his 96th birthday. This is his birthday celebration, and he just when they're ordering, did you notice that he was just like, "I'll have tacos."
Yeah,
he said tacos, and then like Shannon's like laying into her father about all like her horrible things happening in life. And then Marilyn Monroe impersonator just comes out. And I don't know what restaurant they were at, because usually they like show the restaurant they're at, but I don't think that they did for this one. But okay, I'm really going to age.
It looked so country club ass.
No, but didn't it look like a Wendy's?
And then when it pulls out, it's like, oh my gosh, the Wendy's sunroom. Like yeah. It was like a big reveal.
Yeah,
like,
and like, then and they- then it's like a woman, like a Marilyn Monroe impersonator comes out, and all of these people, like all these guys in just like baseball caps, are like what? T-shirts.
Yeah, well,
they look like Teamsters.
That was such a reveal. I was like, oh, okay. It kind of looked like the Larry David Country Club set. So I was like, okay, this is like a nice restaurant. And then pull back and it's like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. And I'm like, what?
It was a Wendy's from the 90s with the sunroom.
But I liked that reveal. It took my breath away.
It took my breath away. This episode was like, it was like a Simpsons episode where it's like the beginning. You don't know how they're going to tie it in with what actually happens in the episode, but they did.
But they did.
Conan's back writing. That's what we said.
That's what we said. So then, Shannon is talking with her dad about it. I hate that she's stuck in this Love Hotel promotional storyline. I get they wanted her to like have kind of a season off because she carried so hard last season and went through literal hell, like legally and
had to blow into her car and deal with Jesus jugs.
I mean, so she's like, okay, let's give her a break on the humiliation, but like making her promote Love Hotel, like it's like, how come we were like no crossovers on Bravo ever, and then once the dam opened and we started doing it, now it's like every show is just a commercial for another show. It's too much. But I do like that Shannon said, she was talking about how she has bad taste in men and she's working on it. And that's part of why she won't let Tamara back in like immediately. And I'm like, I actually kind of think that's legit. I don't know. What do you
think? But why is she telling her dad?
Because she's got to push story, Michelle.
I know. This is what we talked about in an episode we haven't released yet with a guest that we haven't announced yet, but it's very fancy person that was just on. But anyway, in that episode we just recorded, we were talking about, you know, when cast members on these shows like bring out one of their like aging relatives to try to stay.
I'm telling you, they played a lot of the hits this
season. We're pulling out all the stops.
But I do think that like, you know, like we have dunked on Shannon being such a doormat for Tamara. Like there have been so many Tamara takedown seasons that Shannon has been like, oh, yeah, I am mad at her. And then immediately rats everything to Tamara, and Tamara's prepared and they don't take her down. So it's like, I do think that I think this is kind of real. A real part of Real Housewives where Shannon's like, I just can't like let her make me look like a fucking idiot loser doormat on TV again. I gotta wait like one season, you know?
And, yeah, totally. And don't you think it was nice that like she sat at like a restaurant table like the whole time? She didn't run to the bathroom crying.
Didn't get up. Yeah, she didn't have a panic attack.
She was sat and we were sat.
And we were sad.
We were sad.
Dad was sad. And talk about Love Island influencing reality TV. They did like a fake heart rate challenge.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
The Marilyn Monroe impersonator she's hired to give her dad like a Wendy's lap dance is like doing her thing.
Frosty is getting a little toasty.
And then it's like an animated, like fake heartbeat thing. And again, foreshadowing it was for the giving, end of the episode.
It was giving Potts Gurley realness.
Yes. It was like, do we really need this?
Yeah, it's a little sick.
Are we joking? He might have a heart attack and die right now. Her father on his birth, like whatever. But it was, again, very full circle. We really came full circle.
It was so funny. Yeah. It was
heartbeats
so
become
funny.
A big part of the episode later. So then, Gretchen is mad. She's talking to Gina about how she's mad that Katie talked to the reporter. And then, Kiki Monique shows up. The famous Kiki Monique we've heard so much about.
Yeah, this is a regular Diane Sawyer type. I mean, the way that they're like, this reporter is so esteemed.
She's very reputable.
We talked about it the last episode where it's like she works for Andy Cohen. She's on like Andy's like Sirius XM
Right, right. But you know what made me trust her is when she sits down to lunch, she goes, two things. Number one, they were like, we met on Shenanigans, Sheena's podcast. So already I'm in.
That's A+. Yeah.
And then she says, the waiter's like, what do you want? And she's like, I'll have a Finfare or a really dry white. And I was like, okay, that is Diane Sawyer's
name. She said Sancerre.
Sancerre.
You said Fen, which is was an outlaw.
That's what my caption said.
Fen, for the girls not keeping score, was an outlawed, like, basically, like, methamphetamine diet pill in the 90s.
That's what I always order at my
which they at my beverage repackaged at the pub. As Adderall later on in life. No, she ordered a Sancerre, not a Fen.
A Sancerre. Sorry, I don't know. I'm not a wine girl.
I know.
Like Michelle, who's drinking wine right now? I'm not classy. I'm more of a Fen girl.
I'm a Fen girl. No, I take my Fen with wine, with Sancerre.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good. Drink it down. It always goes down.
I'll have a dry Fen.
Anyway, Gretchen is explains that she was sideswiped hearing about this Katie conversation with Kiki about her Kiki about, you know, Gretchen. Kiki explains it was that Katie told the same story that she's been telling us since she got busted for lying, which was that she was at Mastro's with Gretchen and Slade, Jen and Ryan. Oh my God, my phone just. It was your text. It was a TikTok you sent me. It opened in my lap. Okay, wait, you did. You made me open my text.
What
just to
TikTok
read, like,
was that? I don't even know.
Even a joke from you. All men are liars, so find one that lies on a yacht. Okay, cut all that. Okay.
Let me go.
Okay. So, yeah, Kiki confirms that, like, yeah, she told her about the whole dinner story with all of them, and that Gretchen told them that after the Naked Wasted night 17 years ago, she went to the hospital the next day, and that there were drugs in her toxicology exam.
Yeah, they gave her a it's like, okay.
Whatever. But it is so... Like, I absolutely
so
think she did it.
Insane.
Like, it's so,
like,
also, she's such a bad liar.
Well, she also was on camera saying, like, I might have said hospital.
Yes. Well, we'll get into it, how she's absolutely busted. So Gretchen is like, do you think I would, like, if I knew something that I wouldn't have said it, like, 17 years ago? And then we go back to, like, the baby Jane Rossi, like, the flip, the, you know, writing a letter for daddy.
I'm writing a letter for daddy.
She's like, I stuck up for her. Like, Gretchen, I've got to say, she was part of why this episode's so great, because she is a really good villain when she leans into that, like, you know, the mean mom from Hairspray, like, pageant bitch, like, you know, emotionless, cold Christian
Harvey Firestein.
No, not Edna, the blonde mom who's a cunt. Yeah. But she's just so, like, terrifying and, like, you know, casted in wax. She makes a very scary villain.
She's spooky.
Spooky-ooky. And so then Kiki's like, oh, by the way, Gina, you were also brought up in this conversation.
And Gina's like, oh.
Yes, part of it.
Yes.
Relevance. She said that, she said Gina said, while she was wearing like a dress or something, Gina said, is that an Asian designer?
God, this part was like.
This was crazy.
This was fucking crazy. This is what they left in the episode.
Dude, well, yeah.
This is what they left in the episode.
They don't show Gina saying that. Wonder why. But they do show that Katie was whispering about it to Jen later, was being like, she asked me, is that an Asian designer? And it's like, wait, why is that the bad part? And she was like,
proof.
She has been telling people. It's like, well, the saying it is kind of, Anyway, Gina's like, well, Katie said she was going to hire like a bunch of Asian designers and I thought it was cool. And then Katie got to stylists and then it shows like a clip of Katie trying to decide like, oh, the Balmain or the Bottega Veneta, as if it's like, oh, look at her. She doesn't even care about her heritage anymore. Gina was right. And Gina's like, and it was my job to call her out right then. I'm like, what? Like how not this is still so not fucked good. Up.
Like, Gina's got a lot going on. Like her stepkids aren't going to school.
Yeah, and it's like and it's you're doubling like, so, down.
And you're like asking people if they're wearing Asian designers. It's like your stepkids need to be going to class. Like you need to be like something.
Yeah, you haven't seen them in weeks.
You like every time you live with your fiance or whatever Travis is, like your stepkids don't get to go to school. So like you need to figure out your
shit or show us on camera and don't like be like, well, no, see, I only was saying the thing about Asian designers, not to be racist. I was trying to make her feel bad.
And I was like, make her feel welcome in this country.
Yeah, it's just so, because it's just so overstepping, like, you know, like,
wild.
If a cast member was like, I'm going to wear more black designers to be like, every time she's not wearing one, be like, oh. Is it a black designer? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, not to do like, oh, but it's just like, it's just,
it's such a weird thing to point out. That. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I would never ask about that. Like, I would just be like.
And especially doubling down like that, being like, yeah, it was to make her feel like she's a bad Asian. Like, that's basically what she's saying. I'm like, it's
crazy rich Asians.
Up. Like, whatever. I mean, you know, free Katie, exonerate Katie. We need Katie.
Oh my God, we need to get those shirts going.
We do.
Free Katie. I'll free Winona.
Yes. And you guys, if you would buy those shirts, we will make them because I want one too. Let us know.
I want to make that shirt.
So yeah, Gina's like, I was just trying to celebrate her culture by shaming her about her culture. And then Kiki's like, well, I just sat on all of this because like I didn't, you know, I knew she was trying to get me to publish the stories. And then you know, Kiki leaves, and then Gretchen tearlessly tries to cry, and the screeching of her voice, the way her face trying to move, it's so painful. So painful to watch.
Oh my God. How many years have we tried to see Gretchen cry?
Oh my God. Well,
she's never been able to.
Yeah. I mean, she's like a flop. She's a flop for she's sure, flop. But it's like she's honestly an iconic villain for this episode. She ate with this one episode.
She did. But it's like, she's so constipated looking when she tries to cry. She's like trying to push out a turd.
Yes. She's like, this is what people have been trying to tell me. Ugh. And I'm mad at myself.
Ugh. Yeah. And she's like a little girl. Alphabet soup. No. Modern references, folks.
Yeah. And then we go to the Dubrow house for some more commercials. Don't for you mean
the multi-storied condo in Beverly Hills?
Right, sorry, condo. Speaking of which, well, you're probably gonna just shame another elderly man's face, but I feel like Terry has eased up on the Botox and looks better too. You are pleading the fifth. Okay. Yeah. The lie detector said, if you agreed, that would be a lie.
I think he looks terrible, Lauren.
I think he looks better now that he's not so, like, you know, Brazil.
Well, no, I think it's like his hair is upsetting to me or something.
Oh, okay. There is something going on there.
It's like splotchy.
And then they do like a poker, which I'm like, oh my gosh, this is totally also.
They play
like,
poker with their children on a mirrored table. Why do they have a table that's a mirror? That's like, are you doing cocaine?
Cocaine? Yeah, it's so like 80s.
What if we're the only ones who thought that? Also, we're probably not, but Jason cut this before I even say it. His brother died of a cocaine overdose.
Oh, really?
His brother was the lead singer of like Bad Company or something.
What?
Yeah, one of those like 80s, crazy.
Like a hair metal band?
Like a hair metal band. And he has like
Why did he cut that?
Well, the cocaine overdose part. I don't want to.
Is that Did, like,
it's public. It's publicly known. No, they do. I just don't want to be morbid about it, but it is interesting.
That is crazy. I didn't know that.
They've tried having, like, because they have, like, obviously, like, his pictures everywhere, and the Dubrows have all of, like, his brother's, like, gold and platinum records and stuff like that, and they have them showcased in their house, but they always have to blur it out because they can't get the rights from the studio, from the record company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's like blowing my mind. Why don't they talk about him?
I don't know why they don't talk about him very often. I think because it's really hard when he passed away.
It's just
away
sad. Yeah, it's something they keep private. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're extremely private about their, you know, they only do this staged bullshit. Like, I think even the poker game is, like, clearly them, like, trying to, Bravo's like, we're trying to field out any interest in, like, a Bravo Liberty poker show. Could you guys do some poker storylines? And Heather's like, I got you. Anyway, boring. Then we go to the main event, which is Emily is planning a Persian New Year party.
Jenny's.
All the little gals are coming over. We see, I love this. We see a prayer with Slade and Gretchen before Gretchen comes. And Slade has his head down because they're like determined to not give this man what he wants and show his face on camera. I'm like, eat it, bitch.
The only thing they let him do is like change a light bulb or whatever. Remember that was what he's
yes,
saying?
Yeah. And it's still just like the shot of his feet. Like,
and it's like, you can't even do that much. It's like, this guy's never had to work at all.
No, he's such a
bum. Can't even change a light bulb in his house.
How many slaves does it take to change a light bulb? It doesn't matter. All of them are being sued for child support.
Exactly.
So then Emily explains the... to Gina, the premise for this episode, which is that not the premise of Persian New Year. No. It's still nebulous. reviewing. I think to Emily as well. But she's like, we're going to do a lie detector test. And Gina's like, oh, is that part of Persian New Year? And Emily's like, no, this is a different thing.
Yeah, this the very famous Persians of Robert Kardashian. The America's first Persian.
It's tradition.
Tradition. Oh wait, that's a different.
It's a different ethnicity.
Yeah,
ethno-religion. So then Emily explains, well, Katie is kind of the one who brought up lie detectors. So
this is
let's
so
do
crazy
it.
They're doing this at a holiday party.
I love it. It reminds me so much of Tamara bringing on the psychic to announce that Brooks doesn't have cancer. Like, it's such a great set piece. And it's like, it's really inspired. I'm so glad Tamara was there to admire the handiwork.
Will say for this Persian New Year, like, it's so, Emily's trying so hard to make it like a, you know, Greek Easter, like Angie K, it feels like. But like Angie K's whole family was there and she's like very, like, we know she's Greek and all of the things.
Yes, that's her whole personality.
But it's like, this is like Emily, having like trying to convince her husband or her mother-in-law who are Persian just to somehow explain it to her or be involved in any capacity.
I don't even like it. I've never done this.
I don't, it's like, no. He's like, I'm not even going to be here for that. Like, it's none of it, like, explaining, like, the culture. Like, there's nothing traditional. Like, at Persian New Year, like, we eat this or we do this.
No, like, they're just randomly smashing eggs on the sidewalk and Emily's like, I think this is right. So, like, what?
I don't know, but what I do know is that in my house, I have multiple people here with legal licensed lie detector tests and blackout curtains in my children's room, which I've taken out all the furniture from.
I'm curious.
Two different floors.
And they're like, chairs, like usually when you see lie detector chairs, it's like a chair. They like brought in Lazy Boys.
It's
I'm like, who
crazy.
Who's in?
Like, this was, like, insane. Like, I, you know, and then she's like, then there's, like, a bowl of hummus, and it's, like, she, like, takes the, like, plastic bag.
Yeah, the sabra.
Yeah, she's like, it's a spicy sabra.
And there's, like, no alcohol either, because I guess you can't, because it could make the test not work or whatever. It's just the most bizarre. They're all drinking, like, plastic cups of water, and people are like, is this Persian?
I don't know. At least get some grape leaves. Like, this is sad.
Yeah, but iconic. Iconically appropriative.
Oh, my God, yeah. What year is it? I don't know. I tried Googling it.
I don't know. Heather comes in a red oxblood leather suit. I got to say, she looks so fucking kind.
So good. I was obsessed with this outfit, honestly.
I love it. And she was also the one who was kind of calling out, like, that Emily, you know, because she's like, well, you know, I'm Jewish. And when I do Jewish stuff, I know what it is because I'm Jewish. And Emily's like, oh, neat. So like, not me.
Okay. She's like, I haven't met a girl. No, this is not what is this. I just needed a reason for you to come to my house. And I couldn't think of literally any other reason why my castmates and my coworkers would have an event at my home.
Yeah. We just had to. This is just like the ruse. And then the real event is the lie detector.
I couldn't think of another event where I could think of, like, why would I get friends with every single one of them lie detector tests. Yeah. Outside of Persian New Year is the only thing that made sense.
It's the only way you guys would all come over, even though if it's on the call sheet, you have to come for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's a high holy day.
Right, right. And it ended up being one, indeed. So then Heather reports back about her, like, shitty Tamara lunch and how Tamara is still, you know, not herself, being a baby. And she's like, Tamara's just like demanding that her storyline be victim this season. And like, she's, I guess, pissed that she left work for 5 days and her coworkers didn't check on her enough after what we mean to her. And Gina's like, you can't play victim in a situation that you don't remember. And then they're like, oh my gosh, is Tamara going to explode on all of us? And then the editing does something really fun. There's like the music where it's like, it starts kind of like pumping. And then like a black, you know, a Uber black pulls up. And then a blonde woman gets out of the car and she's clopping her heels up to the door. And they're like, oh, is Tamara going to explode? Is she here? She's so mad at us. And the door opens, dun, dun, dun. And then it's Jen, the single white female of Tamara.
Oh boy.
I was like, you guys did that.
I got it.
That was camp. And then everybody arrives and they fill out the lie detector questionnaires. She still hasn't explained it's lie detectors.
Crazy. They're like questionnaires.
Is it like a Festivus thing with Persian New Year where we ask each other questions?
It's a problem with you people.
It's so, and then Shannon, like, Emily's like, oh yeah, and it's anonymous. And Shannon's like, well, I wrote my name on mine. They're like, it's bedlam.
They signed it Shannon Storm Spador, a crying face.
That's her seal. That's her stamp.
That's her stamp. It's her crest. It's her family crest.
Family crest. A Kathy cartoon crying.
It makes noise.
So then Katie comes. You can tell Katie is on the outs with, because everyone else is dressed very like kind of like office holiday happy hour, like a lot of like red and gold, you know, like
they think Persian New Year would be.
Yeah, something holiday-ish. Whereas Katie, who up until now has been in coordinated outfits with Jen and Gretchen, she is now the one dressed as the little baby Jane. She is dressed like a little Easter child in like a baby doll dress, a giant pink sweater buttoned up to her throat, and absolute terror in her eyes. Mm-hmm. Like this whole party, even before she finds out about the lie detector test, it's like she's being hunted.
I know. We need to give her her. It's like she didn't take her dolls today.
She didn't. Yes.
We need to take her dolls.
The baby doll did not take her dolls.
We need to give this girl her dolls.
Especially when she looks over and she sees Gina and Gretchen talking, and then like Katie looks over and she's like,
"Where's the bathroom?"
It's like so.
Oh my god! This is so Shannon. Where's the bathroom?
Room. And then Tamara does come. She like walks in and she's kind of matching Heather. She looks cunty too. She's in like that see-through
red
top.
Guess who's back?
She's so like Amanda Melrose plays. It's like she almost like takes off sunglasses and she's like, you thought you could have get rid of me that easy. I was like, yes, Tamara, this is who you are on the show. Not like, don't be mean to me. I have anxiety. You're like, the bitch is back. Yes, yeah. Oh, I'm so happy that we finally addressed that in this episode, too. So Tamara hugs and she eats shit and apologizes to Gina and Emily, who are like, you know, Emily's like, remember my son? I have a storyline too. And Gina's like, and me too. And Tamara's like, yeah, yeah, it's my fault. Katie, blah, blah, blah. And Gina goes, don't worry about Katie. And then Katie looks over and goes, I think I'm going to be sick, and runs to the bathroom and vomits. So good. So then Shannon is kind of pissed that they're forgiving Tamara. She's like muttering to herself, oh, you can quit and tell us all to fuck ourselves and everything is peachy keen and fine. And I'm like, well, Shannon, to be fair, you literally do that all the time. Like, and they do have to forgive.
I love when Shannon talks to herself. I have to say,
it's so good.
It makes me smile. I know she's not smiling.
No. But she's like, she's one of our.
She's bringing joy, even if she's not feeling it.
She's one of our finest hot mic mutterers up there with Lisa Barlow, you know.
I just need Spanx.
I can't handle this.
Again, I need my 40 Spanx. Airport. I need my airport Spanx.
My airport Spanx. And Southwestern overpriced clothes. Okay, so then Emily interrupts Shannon's muttering to announce, by the way, it's going to be a lie detector. And Shannon's like, oh, that's why there's no alcohol. And then everyone's like, oh, okay, okay. And Katie goes, okie dokie, and starts playing with her neck skin.
I know. Like, by the way, the fact that they had to like fill out all these questionnaires, no one was like, this is weird.
What is this? Yeah, like, what is going to happen?
Is this Persian New Year?
Yeah, like, but the only person who seems like very surprised is Katie. I think everyone in the cast knew, but Katie, she's the one who this was sprung on. Mm-hmm. And then we get the talking head of Katie going, polygraphs, they're not fun. I'm like, how many polygraphs has this bitch had?
She's been arrested. She's been in jail.
I mean, it's like, why don't these producers like, look, you got to know. I know she's like a little closed off. She's not a natural by any means. But like when someone says polygraphs, they're not fun. You need to ask them, can you tell us about some more times that you were hooked up to a lie detector test during your vast criminal past? Like, follow up. Okay. So anyway, yeah. So they start hooking them up. And, okay.
So crazy.
And this is what's really pissing me off, Michelle, is there's a lot of social media discourse I'm seeing about those lie detector tests were not reputable. I've seen that guy in other shows. They should have gotten someone better. No shit, it's not reputable. Like, what are you talking about?
Honestly, I wish they had been able to get, like Scientologists. And, like, if they were, like, up, like, E-meters.
Oh, my God. TV. Yes. If they had cleansing their thetans, like, oh.
It would die. I mean,
it was kind of the vibes. It felt like less like lie detector test because it was like it had the big comfy chair.
They were having to reflect back on traumas.
And they were like strapped in, like they strapped them in a way that made all of their tits pop out even more.
It was giving celebrity center.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was very felt more like an audit than it did you traditionally see lie detector scenes go.
Yeah, it was like E-meter full audit. Yes,
Like full restraints. Like I've never seen that in a lie detector test. Like,
happy Persian New Year.
Oh, you know what else? It was very like that scene in Clockwork Orange is a lot what it felt like, where he's like strapped to the chair and they're making him watch. So anyway, that discourse, like, of course, it's like any kind of like thing you see on TV, if a professional is doing it on TV, probably they're not actually that reputable.
They're not good. Just like a therapist who's going, like, no reputable doctor is going to go, maybe like a plastic surgeon, Terry Dubrow, because, but that's elective. But I mean, yes. I'm just saying, like, most of them are not going to be on TV. Just like if you want a really good attorney, they're not doing advertisements.
Exactly. And also it's just like lie detectors in general, they're
kind of
accurate.
Crap.
They're thrown out in court, like, just to be like, this should have been more scientific. I'm like, this is Housewives. Like, this is not an actual, like, trial.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're at this the house of, like, Shane, who famously failed the bar exam, like, 15 years in a row.
Yes, yeah. Just because, like, you know, Emily's a part-time lawyer exonerating the people who stormed the Capitol or whatever, it doesn't mean that she's going to make sure it's all above board legally.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
This is like, I would disbar her.
I would disbar her for that.
This is weird.
She's gone too far. Mm. No, I wouldn't. I would give her.
She looks good, though.
I would make her a judge for this.
Like, I was, like, obsessed with her dress.
She's so gorgeous. She's oh, my God.
Stunning. I think she's so pretty.
She's beautiful. She's I love one her of the most gorgeous. The most gorgeous ever. Okay, so then we get, you know, Tamara in there first. Tamara's questions include, were you really told you were on the spectrum? Which everyone has been too scared to touch before this, because it's like, what if she is? And I just love that it was like, it was kind of like the psychic not having cancer thing. It's like, oh, this was Tamara's own trick used against her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gretchen's question was, of course, did you call Slay's ex or did she call you during the season 6 reunion? Like, who gives a fuck? And then Shannon goes, she's like, I have wacky Shannon nightmares about this. Some comedy there. and then finally we get to like the main event. Katie, you're next. She goes,
We have never heard Katie reach that octave.
No. She's usually down here in my baritone.
She's a baritone.
Yeah.
And now she's
and she
like,
went full mezzo soprano.
Okay.
So she like gets in the chair and she's like, sorry, this makes me like so anxious.
I'm so anxious and uncomfortable. I don't like this.
I don't like this at all. This is one of my least favorite things to do every year. I have to do this.
Not a hobby of mine.
It's like a, you know, it's like the dentist when you get your polygraph. It's like, right?
You have to go twice a year.
Can you put me under?
Yeah, we haven't asked you anything.
Any questions?
You're already telling us things.
I mean, my guess is she was trying to set up like, oh, I'm so anxious that I'm going to trip the test no matter what. Like, I'm just going to fail it.
Right.
But it's like, if you're going to do that, then why don't you give honest answers on everything?
Instead of just being like, I'm sweating and I'm scared and I can't stop pooping and vomiting.
It's good CYA, but you kind of have to think through the plan a little farther, Katie. But again, you know, she's still updating. They're still perfecting her technology. And she did great work here, too. Meanwhile, they're all talking about Gretchen meeting with Kiki. And then Gretchen's in the lie detector, too. And we see a split screen of Gretchen nailing the lie detector, and she's got such a stank face. She's her face is even more motionless than usual, and it's like she smelled a fart. Like, she doesn't even blink the whole time.
She doesn't blink. You know what? It was like Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct. Like,
she's just crossing and uncrossing her legs and showing her vagina over
full
and over
vagina
again, face not moving. And then Katie is like
very moving,
can't stay still, trying to break free of the restraint.
You can't hold me. I've been to prison.
And so then they unhook them both. Katie's like, and then the lie detector lady tries to do some humor. She's like, I'm sure you never want to see me again. And Katie goes, huh, yeah.
But I'll see you in 6 months.
In 6 months for my next one. And then as she leaves the lie detector lady, leaving no doubt in anyone's mind, if they thought this was very reputable up until now, says, she's so full of shit.
Like, I know. They didn't even do this kind of level of nasty work on Maury Povich. Like, this was
They don't let them have color commentary on Maury Povich. Just come in and do your bit.
Yeah,
come on.
We waited to find out the results before they would dance and celebrate not being financially responsible for a child.
Yeah, you can't like wiggle and vamp and like, you know, have your extend your moment as the lie detector.
This isn't going to be good.
Yeah, it's like, this is not your audition for Housewives, Lie Detector Wendy. So then Wendy gives the results. So Emily's question was, did she talk bad about Heather in front of her children, which was kind of something that Katie and her daughter had pushed when her daughter was like babysitting Emily's kids. The lie detector said she did not. That was
the truth. Mm-hmm. Now she does her like not the baby daddy dance.
Yes. celebrates.
She came and it's like, this is all so hummus.
This is all so planned, but yeah, Kyther will be able to have like a pin cap full of hummus as her reward. Or Emily. Okay, and then Gina says she didn't keep Heather around for real estate connections, which is another thing that Katie planted. Like, clear, like none of these storylines matter at all, but they're like,
I just forgot about that one. I was like, this is a dumb...
It's just the stuff Katie was responsible for, you know.
Yeah.
And then Katie, that was also true. Gina doesn't do that. And Katie, it cuts to her confessional being like, I don't believe it. And then Tamara, she couched her. Okay, so for her first one, she's totally busted on the autism. Mm-hmm. That like, they're like, we asked you, have you or have you not been diagnosed or like potentially diagnosed as autistic? And she's like, I said yes. And they're like, and that was a lie. And everyone's like, ugh. And she's like, oh, that's so weird. And then it cuts to the footage of her therapist kind of like, it's like kind of backing her up, where she's like, well, we talked about how you talk about how you might be on the spectrum. I don't know. It's like, we all know she's fudged the numbers on this one a little bit. But then I think she really is a pro on the next one, where the question was from Gretchen, another stupid question from 17 years ago. What, did you contact Slade's ex-wife or did she contact you? And Tamara's like, I mean, I honestly don't even remember. The point is that we talked and he was not paying his child support. And the lie detector's lady's like, yeah, okay.
Sure. Yeah, that's okay. That yeah, thank you.
But like, she really underlines what a nut job Gretchen is for that. So I like
she
that.
And she's America's nut job.
America's well, she for this episode only, she is like my brain dead Stepford wife, evil countress queen. You know, she's like a geriatric fembot. I stan her little like wannabe victim ass, but I'm sure I'll go back to like not loving to hate her, but
we come
to
this place for magic.
For magic, darling. And so then we get to Jen, who, thank God, does have reservations about marrying Ryan. I mean,
oh my God, that was so like refreshing to hear.
I was like, oh, phew. And it sucks because it's like everyone's too scared to like talk about Ryan on camera in any of her storylines.
And I kind of like Ryan this season.
I mean, he's funny, but like she absolutely should not get like legally hitch her wagon to this man. Why would she do that? Just keep living with
it. She needs a place to live. She can't rent a house.
They don't have to get married for he doesn't work either. Like, why can't
they just... You keep your mouth shut about that.
Sorry. Yeah, don't sue me. I mean, well, no, he wasn't suing Tamara for saying he doesn't have a job. He was suing her for saying that the FBI allegedly came to his house.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, he likes Malibus.
My thing is, he's pressuring her to get married. And, like, also she thinks the kids want them to or whatever. But it's like, I know that you're not going to hear my case of advocating for waiting to get married because you're so staunchly against me dragging my feet. But I'm like, they have no reason. Why can't she? Her gut is telling her, what's the rush? To get legally involved with this man who just had to allegedly make a deal with the FBI.
But she's gonna get married
in a bikini. So he didn't go to prison for laundering $135 million.
It's a fairy tale.
Okay. Well, I'm glad she's worried, but like I wish that for legal reasons the cast could feel comfortable.
I think she's supposed to be getting married pretty soon. I thought she was supposed to be getting married this summer, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's good. I guess it's good that it's being pushed back a little, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then Heather Dubrow is asked, would you rather be on Beverly Hills? She says, fuck yeah. I love her shooting her shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of surprised they haven't put her on Beverly Hills at this point.
My thing is, I mean, I think she would really get to work there. Like here she's, you know, she's basically friend of here.
She's she's also just like, she's like, I don't even live here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, you know, I think that's why she felt comfortable to pitch it. Yeah, because she's like, I don't live here.
You wanted to do that.
And that makes me think she's also done probably after this season if she doesn't get on Beverly Hills. But I'm like, she can't be – they need a fire starter on Beverly Hills. Like Heather's a utility player who can help push things along, who can stir the pot, who can maneuver and manipulate. But she can't – she's not a fire starter.
Yeah, she's like a better Kyle.
Yes, she would basically have to take over for Kyle.
So somebody else has to be. We need a the show needs like a season one.
They need a Shannon.
They need a Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, I don't know. They've had plenty of like grand dames who weren't as good as Lisa. Like, and Heather's
funny.
But Heather's like a Lisa Vanderpump. She's that same type that we talk about, the grand dame who like is political and manipulates and like orchestrates. But like, they need someone who is country's diva nutcase, like Vicky, like Shannon. They need someone who's explosively entertaining. And like, Sutton is tired of carrying the show on her back with the, you know, unstable factor for five seasons.
That was iconic.
She can't give us a name of every episode.
They
need someone unstable.
Denise is coming back.
She is?
Yeah, she's filming.
Oh my God. I mean, that's kind of. Well, I don't know.
They haven't announced about her cast, but she is like, they were like, she's filming right now.
Oh my God. Immediately. I'm like, we need someone who's not well on the cast. And then you're like, Denise is coming back. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
I know, but we haven't had anything good happen since her jacket was upside down.
I mean, she was great. I'm just like a little bit, you know, after everything she's gone through on camera.
Let her cook.
I'm just like worried about her for real in a way that I'm like,
she's been in the industry a long time.
Maybe a friend of is like the
place. She's like main cast, but I think she's coming back for appearances, and that's great.
That's great. That's great.
Because they're iconic appearances.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That works. Okay. So, and then Heather says she did not call the paparazzi to meet her at Disneyland. The lie detector test said that was a lie.
You lied.
But I mean, honestly, I'm like, this lie detector lady.
I don't think they were really hooked up to anything. Yeah, she's
winging it.
She's like Googling it. Like, Emily can't Google what year it is in Persian New Year, but this lady's like, I don't know.
Did Heather do that?
She's like, she's looking at the picture. She's like, well, she probably called the paparazzi. did it. Yeah, sure. And she's like looking at pictures of Tamara. She's like, you don't look autistic.
Yeah, that's no.
You're not autistic. You're not autistic.
Yeah, it's like name for her. She's the human lie detector test, and she's like, I've determined that's a lie.
Yeah. Or Emily's like, these need to be lies,
and these need to be truth. I mean, also very possible
because I'm paying you. You know, this is like my party. You're basically a vendor. You're the caterer I didn't pay for.
Right. The budget went to you, so you need to bring over some pom-pom hummus.
Yeah, this is like the menu you would typically give to a caterer for your event. Like, we're not going to have drumsticks and steak. Yeah,
but it's just storylines.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's going to be more like, was Gretchen roofied?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Got it.
Happy Persian New Year to you.
So Gretchen, she aced the test, which we could kind of tell. She was so locked in. Her face was furious with motionless rage. She said she did not tell Katie and Jen she was drugged. She did not say she went to the hospital.
I did not.
But then it's like, obviously she tricked the test because Tamara and Shannon are like, well, she did say that she went to the hospital on camera. So she was either, we were there. So she was either lying then or she's lying now.
Yeah.
Probably some fallout later for that with Gretchen. And then, Katie fails just as we thought.
Everything.
Miserably.
This is so funny also the way that they like do the results. Like, it's like, oh my God, this is so unprofessional.
Yes, it's crazy. And like also, Katie's response as always, it's like, I love how they set her up to pretend to be surprised and lie, because that's really where she's the most comedic, where she's like, I did not hit her. And so it's just like, you know, like a montage of them being like, you said that like Gretchen told you she was drugged and roofied. And she's like, I did say that. And they're like, that was a lie. And she's like,
Even before they read the results, they're like, this was like the worst. You know, you're the worst you've ever had anybody do.
No one
like,
has flopped.
Nobody's done this bad. Like, I've talked to murderers.
The amount you've lied is actually a federal crime.
It scared me.
Yeah.
Never in my professional career have I seen somebody so bad.
And then Katie's response to that is just going, okay.
Okay, well, I don't think I'll be invited back.
Until my next polygraph. Yeah. So then, yeah, she's called out on all of the lies. And then Katie tells the story again about Mastros and Slade and Gretchen telling them that Gretchen went to the hospital the next day and was roofied. And then Slade and Ryan and Matt doing a phone chain being like, deny, deny, deny.
Yep.
And then Gretchen is like, how could you? And Katie's like, Jen, back me up. And Gretchen's like, well, I talked to Kiki. And Jen's like, well, I she didn't say any of that. She just said she was sick as shit. And Gretchen's like, I said I could have gone to the hospital. And Emily goes, no one believes you, not even the lie detector. You failed every question. And then Katie goes,
oh.
Like Lucille Ball style.
Oh. Ricky. Uh-oh.
Sorry. Lucy.
You have some splaining to do.
She's so, like, dry, dude. It gets me so bad. She can't leave.
Oh, my God.
But it's not looking good after this. And then Katie goes, this has got to be wrong. I will take it again. Like, she talks like The Room, the movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't think that they want me here.
Yeah. And then Gina throws in the Asian designers thing. And this time they do let Katie have like a talking head where she's like, that is offensive. Like, I don't think that Gina knows, like, you know, I feel confident on this one. Like, this is offensive and offensive for her to call out. And I know she doesn't get it, but it's fucked up. And then back to like the barrage on Katie. And Emily's like, you should go. And then I've never seen anything like this on Housewives where Katie's like, okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. They don't even let her take any hummus.
Not even her water cup. And then Katie, oh my God.
I don't get any cucumber and feta.
Just, you know, she doesn't even try. She's okay. Bye.
Bye.
I'll go. And then outside to the producer.
You don't got to tell me once.
Okay, this got my ass so bad. She's like saying to the producer, she's like, Kendall, Gretchen did say that, and that makes me so upset. Jen literally heard it. And the producer's like, you know that I'm not in the show.
I'm not on
right?
TV. I'm not a cast member, Katie.
And she's like, oh, right. And then she pulls over another producer, too. And he's like, he's also not. And she's talking to both of them. And she's like, well, we all had phone calls. They all had phone calls. And I don't know if I should lie or what. And they're like, go in the house. Well, I don't know if it belongs.
Yeah, it's like a PA. Like, it's like a 19-year-old production assistant. He's like, I don't.
What are you talking? Do you,
I'm
do
here
you
to
need
give
a
you
Fresca?
Water. Like, yeah. I know. I'm from craft services.
And then meanwhile, Emily's daughter, who's like equally as confused as what's going on, as Katie walks in, gets home from school with her backpack, and just waves at all the women yelling about Katie in the living room.
Yeah, it's like a Wednesday.
I'm sure that like the
2 p.m.
2 p.m. And I'm sure like the foot. I was like, oh, you don't have off for Persian New Year? I'm sure.
Oh, like, yeah. Don't go to your room. There's adults in there with blackout curtains and wires.
And then, like, I'm sure, while she was walking into the door, Katie was like, Emily's daughter, like, Gretchen was lying. And they're like, she's also not part of it. Like,
who are you? And then, you know, she's like, my brother has autism?
Yeah, it was just, like, the way she kind of, like, the 12-year-old daughter just kind of smiled and shrugged, like, oh, you kids, God love you. Happy Persian New Year.
No, where's her dad? Where's Shane?
I don't know. He doesn't have a job. Ugh, whatever.
Anyway,
great episode of TV. Although the bad news is, unfortunately, multiple sources are reporting we will not have Katie back until the reunion.
Yeah, she's like the statement she gave. She's like, I'm gonna be out for a while.
Yeah, she like doesn't try to cover it with like, you know, the jargon that they do for it not to seem like that, like this is a TV show. She's like, I think with this group of women, they won't shoot with me for a while.
They didn't film with me for a while.
But no, like, I'm like, you guys, can't you see? You cannot Monica this woman because you guys are not.
You cannot.
You need like this. You need someone who is such a wild card and so different and such a mystery and
storyline.
And also, she's such a, like, she's never going to get that mad at you or fight back. So it's like, we could really just spend the next three seasons digging into her mysterious polygraph past.
Exactly. Like, and you could just be like, go away. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Make really a good point.
Kind of, she's kind of like a new flavor of what Gretchen was, or like newbies were originally on the show, where like everyone can kind of like, you know, tear them apart and go to town on them. And like, you feel bad for them like a little bit sometimes, but then also like eventually they are awful and become the same way. It's like, this is what OC is. And you just need to recognize, you need to see that potential. In
Katie. Yeah, we cannot excommunicate this one.
No.
We need her.
Free Katie, exonerate Katie, and let us know if we should make those
t-shirts or do a grassroots movement.
Also, do you think she'd come on the pod? I kind of think she
probably might. She seems so easygoing.
But I, honestly, like, if we could just get, like, be like,
we just need to be on Adderall.
We're her biggest fans. Mm-hmm. And
we'll wear the shirts.
Yeah, we'll wear the shirts. We'll be like, every episode we talk, we're obsessed with her. We think she is the show. Just give us 10 minutes with her.
Yeah.
Like, we'll do anything. We love her. We are Janelli heads.
We're Janelli. We're Janelli girls.
We're Janelli girls. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we realize that's not her last name, but we are.
That is her last name.
Janella.
Okay, well, I'm still a Janelli girl.
I know, but we're still, yeah, Janelli.
We're still, she would be like, oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. No, I think that, like, really it would just be us worshiping at her feet for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I think she needs that right now.
She does. Okay, a sidebar special moment of the episode, though. Okay, did Shannon's new confessional look? She looked hot. Like, the bronze, like, strappy dress, and she had the Carmela Soprano updo.
The updo. I love when she really goes like sophisticated,
you know, mama.
Kind of like that, you know, like a kind of retro.
It was like va va voom.
Yeah, she really hit the, like, you know, married with children Peggy sweet spot with that one.
Yes, it was very Peggy Bundy, and she's just looking for her Al, man that is constantly annoyed by her
and just always sits on the couch with his hand in his pants.
I hate you so much. I never want to have sex with you.
Yeah. That is her type. Like, she wants an Al Bundy type.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, makes about as much money as a shoe salesman. Like, all of that's ideal for Shannon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, no matter what, I will never watch her love journey unless it's on a better show.
Mm-mm. Sorry.
Love you guys. Bye, our Janellis.
Bye, Janelli heads.